We live in a world that is hungry. Not just physical hunger, but spiritual hunger too. People all around us long to be fed by things that have meaning and substance. We long to be part of something bigger, to be given direction, to be loved. And some of us are so desperate that we cry out in the street, "Have mercy on me." Just a crumb, just a scrap will suffice.
That's the Reverend Cudno Alexander. And today he brings you a powerful message of faith and hope. I'm Peter Wallace. This is Day One.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's mainline Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. Now, here's our host, Peter Wallace, to introduce this week's speaker.
Thank you, Sherry. Today, we're delighted to have with us the Reverend Cudno Alexander, the 2013 recipient of the David H.C. Reed Preacher Scholar Award, given by Madison Avenue Presbyterian Church in New York, New York. Cudno is the pastor of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd in Mount Holly, North Carolina. He is a graduate of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill with degrees in history and Russian language. And he earned his Master of Divinity from Lutheran School of Theology at Chicago. Cudno, congratulations on receiving this prestigious award.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Madison Avenue Presbyterian Church has enabled us to present the David H.C. Reed Award recipients on Day One over the past several years. Tell us about your experience in receiving the award.
Well, the preparation for this really started about a year before I even received it, getting the sermons together, doing the research for the background and all of that, filling out the application. So it was quite a long process. Mm-hmm. Then I sort of submitted it, let the Spirit take over. I received a call, I think maybe last April or May, from someone from that church telling me that I had won the award. I was actually on the road. My wife was driving. I was not talking while driving. But yeah, we got this call, told me that I had won it. And it was just a really exciting moment for all of us, especially as we prepared to graduate from seminary.
Then you got to preach there last fall.
That's correct, yes. So I was able to preach there and really spend some time with them in New York City. And it was just quite an honor to be preaching there.
David H.C. Reed was an internationally renowned preacher, scholar, and author of the late 20th century and a former pastor of Madison Avenue Presbyterian Church. Do you see him as a model for ministry today?
I think so. One of the things that really impressed me about his story was his sense of adventure, was his experiences throughout the world. You know, as we become a much more global society, that sense of wonder and excitement that we have about the world and the cultures and the people in it. I was also really impressed with his experience with ecumenism, with working together with other churches. And that's certainly something that is more and more important in the 21st century and something that I would very much like to continue to do.
So you have served at Church of the Good Shepherd in Mount Holly, North Carolina, for the past year or so. Introduce us to your congregation. What do you want people to know about what's happening there?
It's an exciting place to be. It's a growing church. It's a healthy church. We have a wide range of generations, a really good distribution of ages. We have young families. We have older people as well. It's a friendly church. One of the things that people notice the most is how welcome they feel when they walk in the door. This church is very, very good, I think, of welcoming anyone who wants to come and be with us on a Sunday. It's a Lutheran church. We are very much committed to Lutheran theology, Lutheran traditions. We feel that's an important witness to have in the world and in the Mount Holly and Charlotte area. So it's really I feel very lucky to be there for my first call and to be part of such an exciting community.
Before you came to Good Shepherd, you served as a vicar and intern at the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Tbilisi in the country of Georgia. And earlier, you served for 2 years in that country as a U.S. Peace Corps volunteer after you studied abroad in Russia. What was it that drew you to that area of the world?
Growing up, I was always very fascinated by the history of Russia, by its culture, by the music, the literature, all of that. So when I was in college, I had the opportunity through the Moorhead Kane Scholarship at UNC Chapel Hill to travel to Russia on a number of occasions and to really get deeper and deeper into that. So when I graduated college, I knew that I wanted a little adventure before I went to seminary. So I joined the Peace Corps and was sent to the country of Georgia to be there for 2 years. Georgia is a small country sandwiched between Russia and Turkey on the Black Sea coast. What I found there was just this amazingly beautiful country, full of great food, hospitality, amazing culture, and I just found myself being drawn back. Mm-hmm. So when I had the opportunity to go to Georgia as a vicar to spend a year with the Lutheran Church there, I jumped at the chance, and I'm very grateful that I did.
So when was it in your process of education that you felt drawn to go to seminary and enter into the ministry?
Well, I think if I admit it, I probably thought that I wanted to be a pastor eventually in high school. But it was one of those things where it's like, oh, well, you know, I'll get a law degree first and, you know, make some money or, you know, go be a banker or something like that. It was in college that I became involved with the Lutheran campus ministry at Chapel Hill, had some great role models as pastors there, met a lot of great people there. And over time, I began to realize that this is what I'm being called to do, not anything else right now. And so when I was a junior in college was when I decided that, no, indeed, this is my path, and I decided to go to seminary then.
Well, your sermon today focuses on the story of Jesus' encounter with a Canaanite woman from Matthew chapter 15. Would you read the passage for us?
Sure. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." Jesus answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly.
This is a bit of a controversial text because of the way it seems Jesus treats this woman at first. What's the cultural background for this story?
Well, as you know, Jesus went into this region that is very foreign to him. It's filled with Gentiles, you know, non-Jews. And so this woman, who is a Canaanite woman, and Canaanites have a long history in the Bible of being sort of the adversaries of Israel. This woman came to him with the request, and it kind of takes everyone aback, I suppose, because here is this non-Jew with a very long history of animosity asking something of Jesus. And what happens is rather surprising and a little confusing, I guess.
We look forward to hearing your sermon, The Table Scrap Feast. Cutno, thank you for being with us.
Thank you. you do with table scraps? It's a serious question these days. Think about those fruit peelings, the half-eaten broccoli, the dropped macaroni, the cut-off bread crusts. All of it goes straight into the garbage. Wasted. I'm certainly guilty of that. According to one report, the average American wastes up to 25% of food and drinks that they purchase, just discarded, spoiled. This is at a time when 1 in 6 Americans are hungry, and over 800 million people worldwide don't get enough to eat. Scarcity in a time of seeming abundance. Yet no one seems to agree on how to fix this problem. Food, even the most meager scraps and crumbs, can be a divisive topic. And from the story that we just heard, we realize that the same could be said in Jesus' time as well. Jesus is walking into the territory of Tyre and Sidon. He's going into an area filled with Gentiles, people who aren't like him, who have a different history, who don't worship like him, who don't eat like him. And he's just had a debate about eating and diet and cleanliness. And I can imagine that after all of that, he just wanted to be left alone, to get to wherever he was going and to turn in for the night. Yet a woman called out to him, a Canaanite woman. Now, already, the disciples are wary. A Canaanite? Those people? Oh, no, no. We are not to be associating with Canaanites. They're bad. They've always been bad. They're unclean. They don't worship our God. What could this woman possibly want? Yet there she is, in the middle of the street, wailing desperately. Have mercy on me, Lord. Son of David, help me. My daughter is not well. She's tormented by a demon. Yet Jesus doesn't say anything. He just keeps going, head down, power through. He just leaves it alone. But there she is, still crying out, creating a scene. Get lost, lady, one of the other disciples might have yelled. Get her out of here. Send her away. She keeps shouting after us. So Jesus pauses, and he turns back to the woman. Now, this is where we'd expect Jesus, of all people, to understand where this woman is coming from. We'd anticipate this scene to play out like a cut-and-dry miracle story. Woman cries out, disciples scoff, Jesus heals, and we all learn a valuable lesson. But it doesn't go like that. In fact, Jesus comes off a little callous. Ma'am, he says, I'm here to feed the children of Israel, not the Canaanites, not you. It's not fair to take the children's bread and feed it to the dogs now, is it? What is Jesus saying? Christians have been debating this for centuries. Maybe Jesus was just grumpy. Maybe he was testing her. Maybe the human side of him was mistaken. We could tie ourselves in theological knots trying to find the true answer. But maybe we should hear this encounter as a parable, playing out within the larger story that Matthew is telling. Perhaps we should think of it as something like a riddle with multiple answers. You see, what matters most in this story is not the initial rejection, but the action that follows. I shouldn't throw the food to the dogs, Jesus says. Yes, Lord, replies the woman. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Even we Canaanites are entitled to the scraps, don't you think? Can you imagine the looks on the disciples' faces when they heard that? Their mouths gape open and their eyes bug out. What did she just say to him? Did she just talk back to our Lord? It was a brave act on her part, those bold and jarring words, an action that rattled everyone's assumptions. Now, we can't read Jesus' mind in this story, and we'll probably never know why he acted the way he did. But we do know that he was moved by what the Canaanite woman said. He was moved by her passion and her persistence and her faith. Jesus grants her the mercy that she sought. He heals her daughter and restores their family. The experience of the Canaanite woman shows us that faith is not always simple or straightforward. Speaking up for ourselves and others, calling out unfairness, challenging the status quo, these aren't signs of a weak faith or a lack of belief. No, Jesus pronounces this type of persistence great faith. Great faith indeed. The Canaanite woman comes in a long line of scrappy biblical figures who simply do not take no for an answer, who engage in what one scholar calls a worshipful struggle, all the way back to Jacob, who wrestled an angel in the book of Genesis. I wonder, where is the Canaanite woman today? Who is she? Perhaps she's part of the 1 in 6 Americans who don't have enough food to eat. Or maybe she is one of the millions who face daily violence and abuse. Or perhaps the countless many who live with addiction or mental illness. How many times in our lives are we like the disciples, trying to ignore these rather inconvenient problems? Oh, I just don't have time for this today. I've already given my money to the church for the week. Well, she's just going to waste it. How often do we sidestep someone who is crying out to us for help? And you know, we sometimes get a little defensive or even offended when someone else points out an injustice to us. Now, perhaps you've been on the other side too. Have you ever reached out to others, perhaps even good church-going Christians, only to be hushed up, shooed away, or dismissed with a callous comment? Why aren't people listening to me, you might say? I feel like I'm invisible. We live in a world that is hungry. Not just physical hunger, but spiritual hunger too. People all around us long to be fed by things that have meaning and substance. We long to be part of something bigger, to be given direction, to be loved. And some of us are so desperate that we cry out in the street, "Have mercy on me." Just a crumb, just a scrap will suffice. Part of our Christian journey, our calling through our baptism, is to listen for those people calling out in pain or hunger or torment, to be attuned to their needs, to meet them where they are, to let them speak to us on their own terms. And sometimes they may seem as strange and foreign as that Canaanite woman. What she has to say to us today may sound as jarring as her words to Jesus. They may even shake our worldview and challenge our assumptions. And if you, listening today, are the Canaanite woman, if you're the one crying out in the streets to seemingly no avail, don't be afraid. Take heart. Don't apologize for your persistence. God hears you. And even in times of struggle and doubt, God proclaims your faith to be great. It's no coincidence that after this encounter with the Canaanite woman, the next thing that Jesus does in Matthew's story is to go down to the sea and meet with a crowd of 4,000 hungry people. And he will feed all 4,000 of them from just 7 loaves of bread and 7 fish. You see, God has this amazing ability to bring about change in the most astonishing ways, through the most unexpected people. God's work in our lives is always surprising us, always jarring us, always shaking up our worldview. God makes abundance out of scarcity. God is constantly taking the scraps from our tables, the crumbs that we discard, and turning them into a feast to which we are all invited. I'm grateful for the Canaanite woman, that unnamed saint, because through her perseverance, through her outspokenness, we catch a glimpse of God's vision for our world. It's a world where grace comes to us in the most unexpected ways, where the smallest speak with the loudest voices, and the powerful act with humility. It's a world where soup kitchens become lavish banquet halls, where sick beds languish unused, and graveyards lie empty. It's a world where all of us, each and every one of us, have life, life that cannot be taken away from us, eternal life. Like the Canaanite woman, we too hold tightly to the promise of the Lord, the Son of David. Brothers and sisters, he says to us today, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish. God's mercy and love are for all people, for those with little faith and those with great faith, for those who are hungry and those who are full, for the disciples and the Canaanite woman, for me and for you. So what do we do with the scraps, those crumbs collecting on our tables? Well, for starters, we can use them to nourish a hungry world. Let us pray. God of abundance, we give you thanks for people like the Canaanite woman, for people who rattle us with the truth. Help us to be ever mindful of the voices of others, to those who cry out for mercy. Feed all of us with your grace, and bring us to the day when all may gather at your banquet table. We pray in the name of Jesus, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
This is Sherry Miller. You may not know it, but for many years, our program was sponsored by the denominations whose preachers you hear on day one. That's no longer the case. Today, Day One is funded almost entirely by donations from our faithful listeners and from churches and individuals who believe in our message. If you're among those who find meaning and inspiration in our weekly broadcasts, please consider making a financial offering to keep Day One on the air. In almost 70 years, we've not missed one single weekly broadcast, but we ask for your help to ensure our future. Please send your gift to Day One, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia, 30305. That's 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia, 30305. Or call us at 1-888-411-DAY1. Or give securely online at dayone.org. On behalf of everyone at Day One, we thank you and wish you all God's blessings. Cutno Alexander offers some final thoughts on his message today with our host, Peter Wallace.
Cutno, thanks for your illuminating message on what could be considered a frustrating passage in Matthew 15. You noted that Christians have debated for centuries what Jesus meant here, that maybe he was just grumpy or testing the woman or revealing his human side. But you helped us see the bigger picture. Faith is not always simple or straightforward, you said. And speaking up for ourselves and others, calling out unfairness, challenging the status quo, these aren't signs of weak faith or unbelief. In fact, Jesus pronounces this type of persistence great faith. So how might we better model our lives as disciples of Christ in this world after this Canaanite woman?
Well, I think one of the keys here is to listen, to be attuned to what is going on in the world. As Christians and as a church, I think it's important that we know what's going on in our communities, what are the needs? Sometimes they're not immediately obvious. Mm-hmm. And so it takes us to go out to talk to people, to hear what they have to say, and to try and figure out ways that we can respond faithfully to what people are telling us.
Of course, we so often act more like the disciples did, trying to ignore this inconvenient problem. We have no time or money or whatever, and we sidestep someone crying out for help. But even Jesus initially seemed to want to just move on. What should we keep in mind about these opportunities when they do come to us?
Well, I think one of the things that we always need to remember is that when people come to us or present themselves as in need, that we don't dehumanize them, mm-hmm. that we don't neglect to realize that this is a person with dignity who is a child of God. And it's easy to look at others as being simply a problem, but they're people. And if we connect with them on that human level through acts of love, then we really are, I think, doing what God is calling us to do.
And you invited those listening who identify with the Canaanite woman crying out in the street seemingly to no avail not to be afraid and not to apologize for their persistence, but to take heart that God hears you, you said, even in times of struggle and doubt, and proclaims your faith to be great. Would you say more about how we can trust that?
Well, I think in our lives, at some point in time, we all of us, even the wealthiest and most privileged among us, end up in that position where we feel like our struggles are completely overwhelming us and we cannot see the end of it. I think it's important to realize that when things befall us, it's not because of anything that we did necessarily. Mm-hmm. It's not because God is punishing us. It is simply a fact, a reality that in our lives we suffer. But we also remember that God is there with us in the midst of it. And we are surrounded every day of our lives by people who love us and care for us and who are truly there to provide us with reminders of God's love for us.
Cudno Alexander, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Day One is the voice of America's mainline Protestant churches. Visit us online at dayone.org. Our program is recorded and edited by Donald Jones and produced by Peter Wallace. Thank you for joining us. I'm Sherry Miller wishing you all God's blessings on Day One and forever.